Hey, Chicks in the Office listeners, you can find every episode on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
What's up, everyone? It's Chicks in the Office with Rhea and Fran giving you that Friday energy on a Friday. It never gets old. Friday on a Friday. We love hit it. Did you say hit it?
I did.
Hit it. Hit it. Love that. I am currently sitting in a very cozy cardigan from Macy's.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Ready to go. Holiday season.
Hurry up. Hurry up. Let's get shopping. Macy's.com/Black Friday or /Chicks in the Office. Francesca, how are you doing on this lovely Thursday afternoon? We're recording.
I'm well. I did wake up this morning thinking today was Friday, so that really threw me for a loop. But that, when that happens, like, I got ready and was like doing my makeup and was like, yeah, it's Friday, let's go. And then was like, oh shit, it's Thursday. But that's okay. We're so close. We're so close.
Yet so far, your hair looks amazing. You dyed it. You switched it up. You're going a little.
Like, I was like, I guess I didn't even say it.
Changed it up. I did. And I thought it while I was looking at you, and it was like we read each other's minds.
Yeah.
Look like Chelsea from That's So Raven.
You know what? It's not wrong. I like it. I Annalise Vanderpool. Shout out to her. I had the hair appointment. I was planning on just like going in and keeping the blonde and just touching it up a little bit and then cutting my hair. But I woke up and was just like, you know what? I've had the blonde for a long time. I've been doing blonde highlights for a long time. I'm going to change it. Rhea has so much fun when she changes her hair. I'm gonna change my hair. And I found like just a cool picture that the salon I go to already had done of like cool kind of auburn-y highlights. And I was like, I love this. This is what I'm doing. And just showed it to her. And she was like, yes, let's do it. So I like it. It's definitely a change. It's a little gingery, but I'm a fan.
Oh, I'm definitely into it. I love the fact that you've changed it up. Change is a great thing. It's looking fabulous. Makes you pop, glowing. It's honestly
a different vibe. I like it.
A different vibe. And sometimes that's what we need in life, just to change it up for a little bit. Why not?
To be honest, like sometimes you feel like that. Yes. And a good hair change, like, can sometimes make you feel like a superhero, because you feel like yourself, but it feels like you just put on some kind of badass wig and now you're like ready to save the world. Like yesterday I was wearing a camo sweatshirt, which from Macy's, it's on the website. I did get some people asking me about that one. It's Lucky Brand. It's so, so cozy. But with the kind of like reddish hair and the camo sweatshirt, I was like, am I Kim Possible?
Yes. Oh my God. You know what would have been perfect if you did this and you were Kim Possible for Halloween this year?
We
might have to recreate it.
I know. I missed it by a couple of weeks, but maybe we just dress up for fun.
We do it anyway. I still have my outfit. It's fine. We could do it. It's completely fine.
Like we should just have like a two-person costume party.
Yeah, exactly. No, definitely. It looks great. So you're feeling great. Got the hair change. Feeling good. Yeah. A week this has been. I feel like it has been the longest week.
Longest week.
Like it just.
Absolutely longest week.
It feels like 2 weeks in one.
Our Sunday at Gramercy Ale House feels like a month ago.
Oh my God. That feels like a lifetime ago. That was this Sunday?
Yeah. That was literally 5 days ago.
Oh my God. That was two podcasts ago. Only two. And I want to say actually that thank you to all the people who are always like, oh my God, we love this. You guys are so funny. We really enjoy this. Because obviously you have some people that don't enjoy it, and that's fine. Not everybody's going to love a drunk podcast. We are incoherent blackout, so I get it. But for the people who did enjoy it, thank you. You know, we're not going to make this a routine thing. It's not going to be every episode. I could promise you that. We're not going to go off the rails every single time. But we were happy to see that everybody enjoyed the episode.
Once in a blue moon, like, I feel
we're
like
not everybody, but some people.
Once a year feels appropriate. You know, last year we had our trip to Penn State.
Once a year. But yeah, I get what you're saying.
Yeah.
We do three podcasts a week.
No, I know. I know. And this is what I said to you too, Rhea, about this. Like, there is a level of getting a little tipsy and doing the podcast and like having fun. What we did on Sunday was another level. Like, that, it falls into a different category.
That falls into
where, like, that should not happen.
That should have not had happened.
That should not happen often. Having a couple drinks and then recording, like, sure, yes, of course. Absolutely. So much fun. You know, it can loosen up a little bit, and that's fine. Sunday was a different level, which is why I'm saying, like, Penn State, what happened this week, like, that filled our 2020 quota for that, and we'll see you all in 2021.
that's a wonderful way to put it. Yes, a couple of drinks just to loosen you up, perfectly fine. One blackout podcast a year, a couple tipsy ones, a couple of drinks here and there, that's fine. One blackout a year. Yeah, we're not proud of that one, but we're glad everybody enjoyed it. Oh, wait, again, did not mean to say everybody. I keep saying everybody, not everybody, but that's fine. I have some things I want to talk about in the intro, actually. Some recommendations for everybody, okay? I've been watching some good things. I've been listening to some good music. Number one, motivational song for your Friday energy song, A Bad Touch by Bloodhound Gang. Because
why did I know you were going to say that?
That song has been stuck in my head all damn week. Thanks to Kelly Keegs. She put me, like, I've obviously heard the song before, but she brought it up the other night. And all of a sudden we started singing it, and it's been stuck in my head ever since. But it's a great song. It gets you in the mood. It gets you in any mood you want, whether it's to be happy, to dance, maybe have a little something, something.
Frisky.
Get a little frisky, have a little sex, whatever it may be. That song is going to do it. So put it on now. Not now, actually, when you end the podcast. Or Noah will put it in. There you go. Friday energy. As for things to watch, The Undoing on HBO is so damn good with Nicole Kidman and Hugh Grant. It's, I don't want to give any details. I don't want to spoil it because Fran has not watched.
I got to catch up.
Noah and I are all caught up. We both watched. It's a fantastic show. Trust me on it. Really amazing. It's not all out yet. So there's four episodes out now because it's out weekly Sunday nights at 9 p.m. But you have enough time to catch up then to watch live this Sunday. And it is, it's good. It's real good.
Amazing. So here's what I definitely want to talk to you about it. It does suck. The Sunday night shows are hard. Because I just feel like when we record on Sundays, it's before the new episode comes out. But
I'm just saying this.
I will watch. Oh, yes, I know. But there's only four episodes out right now, and I'm definitely planning on watching those in the next couple days. So we've got The Undoing, which I have to watch, And on the flip side is Dash and Lily. I know it is on the opposite spectrum.
Complete
of the undoing.
Vibe. Complete.
But I thought Dash and Lily was so cute, right up my alley. I need Rhea to watch all of it so that we can talk about it, so that we can do a little Dash and Lily and undoing commentary on Sunday.
Absolutely. I 100% agree with you that I have to watch that show you've been telling me. And I did watch
on Sunday night.
But I didn't watch. I didn't comprehend anything. There it's got to be rewatched,
cuz we got to restart.
I went through every episode and it just, I don't know anything. I couldn't tell you the names of the people, even though the names Dash and Lily in the title. I didn't watch, but I watched. So yeah, so I'm gonna have to definitely give that a rewatch. This weekend I'm gonna do that. And you'll have to watch The Undoing, because Nicole Kidman and Hugh Grant and Lily Robb, or Rabe, I'm not exactly sure how to pronounce it. The whole cast is fantastic as well. And just, oh my God, it's a drama. It's not Dash and Lily, but Dash and Lily we love. A Christmas rom-com type show. We're into that sort of thing. Now I have one more that will complete the genre. You know, we got the rom-com, Christmas rom-com. We got the drama slash, I guess you would say, thriller, kind of, not really. I don't know how to describe that. Don't have a scary pick, but I do have a comedy pick. The Comedy Store documentary on Showtime. It's a 5-part series. It is a really, really amazing insight to the Comedy Store in Los Angeles, where all these comedians came from. You know, this woman, Mitzi Shore, she owned it. She was like in charge of putting the set list together, who's going to go on stage. They really go into it more into the documentary, but you really just learn so much about comedians and just the art of comedy. And they have all the past comedians from years and years and years ago before we were even alive, and then the recent ones. And I think it just gives a really great insight to, like I said, the Comedy Store in general, how iconic that place is, and also just comedy. You know, I feel like, and they mention it in the documentary, like right now we're living in a time where everyone is looking at people to get mad at them. You're just like trying to like listen and find one thing that you can get mad at. And then that becomes the one opinion. You know what I mean? And comedians are like, we're comedians. We are labeled comedians because we make jokes. People then take the jokes and then put them into serious context and then say, it's not a joke. And they're like, we're comedians though, that we are here to make jokes. Like that is exactly what we're doing. They describe it obviously way better because it is their craft and what they do. But I just found it extremely, extremely interesting. Like one of the best things I've watched in a while, one of the best documentaries. So I would highly recommend that as well. And I cried. You laugh a lot and you cry.
Wow. That sounds amazing. Love all of this. I mean, we have, to be honest, have gotten some pretty good TV recently that we have been very into and excited to talk about. On this episode, we are going to get into Real Housewives of Salt Lake City. We are caught up. That is a wild ride. We've been watching A Teacher on Hulu. Also a very wild ride. And I do want to say quickly, because Monday is fast approaching, that the Dancing with the Stars finale is coming up. Caitlin has made it to the finale. I'm so excited, so happy for her. I'm going to be honest. I am a big fan of this finale. It's Caitlin, Neve, Justina, and Nelly. I know a lot of people were a little iffy on Nelly making the finale. You know, he was getting lower scores than the rest of the contestants. And Sky, and Johnny had to go home in the semifinals, and Nelly was saved. I mean, Nelly actually got enough votes, so it wasn't even between him. The judges didn't even have to pick between him. He was already saved. But Nelly got a perfect score on his jive that was like, it's got him into the finale. It was like, oh, okay. I think everyone was kind of like, oh, I don't know if Nelly deserves to be in the finale. And then he pulls out a jive that was a perfect 30 out of 30 and probably saved him. So it's going to be a very interesting finale on Monday. And I mean, I'm really rooting for Caitlin. I really am. She's really just like worked her ass off so hard.
I am as well. I voted for her 10 times, even though I love Nelly. I gave all of my 10 votes to Caitlin. I'm rooting for her. I am worried a little bit that they are not going to have her win, though, because of Hannah winning last year. And then you have the two Bachelorette winning situation. But if she's that good, she's that good. You know what I mean? Yeah. So I feel like, I don't know. I'm definitely rooting for her, but I feel like I can see Neve winning. He's a crowd favorite right now. He's really good, but I am rooting very hard for Caitlin.
Absolutely. I mean, Neve's like talking about going to Broadway, going on tour. Like Neve,
Catfish the musical.
Neve is legit a ballroom dancer. He and Jenna could go compete like in ballroom competitions. I feel like it's funny because it almost seems like this was his true calling, and Catfish happened. And it was just like so lucky for him that that all came together and the success he got from Catfish that he was now able to have this opportunity because of Catfish. But this feels like what he really should be doing. He is really, really great. So it's going to be tight. We'll see what happens. But I sobbed like a baby watching Caitlin last week perform her dance for her friend that had passed away when they were teenagers. And it was a beautiful tribute. And it's just getting to that point. We're coming down the stretch. And yeah, I hope that the whole Bachelorette thing doesn't affect people voting because Hannah had won last year. People should vote on who they really, you know, think should win.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I think it's time to get into the topics. We are going to talk about more TV shows. Like Fran said, we're going to be recapping Salt Lake City, Real Housewives of Salt Lake City, A Teacher on Hulu. We're going to be talking about that, as well as Charli and Dixie D'Amelio. They're under hot water right now for this YouTube video that they did. If you're interested,
in hot water.
They're in hot water, and it's ridiculous. But I can't believe I'm.
They're also under it.
Yeah. What do you mean?
You said they're under hot water. It's like they're in a, like they're oh, like oh. In
a, I'm sorry. I meant they're in some hot water right now. Well, you're in the water, you're under it. So yeah, they're under hot water right now. Mm-hmm. I messed up. I'm embarrassed now. No, it's okay. We can move on. And we also had the wonderful Nina Parker on the show, and we talked about Scott Disick making it official with Amelia Gray Hamlin, People's Sexiest Man Alive went to Michael B. Jordan, and the Taylor Swift and Scooter Braun drama continues. So let's get into it. Starting off with Charli and Dixie, the TikTok drama. If you don't want to listen to TikTok drama, just scoot on past this, guys. Don't worry. You don't have to listen to it.
Fast forward button is a beautiful thing.
Dixie D'Amelio are under fire right now because of this YouTube video that they posted. It was Dinner with the D'Amelios. The special guest was James Charles. They had a personal chef cook for them, who actually is Mark D'Amelio, I think his friend, his favorite chef, he said. And they did this video, and people are freaking out all over the place because they think that Charli and Dixie have extremely bad manners. They were really rude to this chef. The chef fed them snail and fed Dixie a snail because they know that she has a weak stomach and can't handle food. And she like threw up or pretended to throw up or whatever it was. And then they brought up Charli almost reaching 100 million followers. And she said it would be cool to get 100 million and 1 million in the same year. And James Charles made a joke and said, oh, the 95 wasn't enough. They all laughed. This whole thing that people are blowing up saying that they are so rude. Charli doesn't care about her followers. They're telling them to kill themselves. It's honestly out of control.
It's pretty alarming that this younger generation that preaches so much of like, let's be nicer to each other and all things like that are so quick to cancel people, to message them on Instagram telling them that they should go die. Like, it's crazy to me that it's probably young teenage kids who are messaging Charlie and Dixie on Instagram telling them like to go run and trap, like to be, you know, to kill themselves, like really horrendous things. You know, Charlie went on Instagram Live, she was crying, she was so upset. And look, both of us watched the whole YouTube video, and Charlie and Dixie, it's dinner with their parents, their young girl, like, you know, they're teenage girls, and sometimes teenage girls can be a little bratty. I think that we've all been there, and they're having dinner with their parents, which is at the prime time of being bratty. So it's like, it's hard. It's just, it's really crazy that this blew up so much. And yes, of course, like, could they have said, thank you so much. Yes, thank you so much for this meal, and you're so amazing, and really played it up more. Of course. But Charlie saying that she's a picky eater and would rather be eating chicken nuggets and mac and cheese is not an insult to the chef. It's just, she's still like a 16-year-old girl who likes eating chicken nuggets and mac and cheese over paella. Like, it's hard. And it also, it sucks for Dixie. Had kind of explained like, oh, my team knows that I have a upset stomach. Like, I get queasy very quickly. They thought it'd be funny for me to eat the snail and see if I throw up or not. And with Charlie, she just had a thought saying, wouldn't it be cool if I hit 1 million followers in the same year I hit 100 million followers, which objectively would be a cool thing. I think, like, because James made that joke, it made it seem like she was being ungrateful, which was, I don't think, her intention at all. It was just to say, like, it would be pretty fucking cool to have a year where I gained 100 million followers.
Exactly. And James Charles making that joke is him making a joke because they're friends, and that's what friends do with each other. They bust each other's balls. They make jokes at each other. Sometimes it sounds insulting, but you guys know you're joking around. Like, I think that people really blew this out of proportion, and also are forgetting that they're here to entertain. They're here to make a YouTube video. It's not actually dinner with the D'Amelios. It's a YouTube video meant to entertain people. The chef is aware of that. I'm sure the chef is good friends with them, knows the deal, knows the kids, knows that they're going to be acting up at the dinner table because it's a YouTube video made to entertain people, not a YouTube video to show you the etiquette on how you sit at a dinner table. Like, I feel like people are missing the point here. Like, these or not even influencer or whatever, TikToker, their job is to entertain when it really comes down to it. What else are they doing? They're going on an app dancing or making videos or whatever it is to entertain an audience of theirs. So I think people are really blowing this into thinking it was some formal dinner when, yeah, of course, you know, you want to be respectful to the chef, obviously, but a boring video would be, oh, what a delicious meal. Thank you, guys. Everybody, this has been a great night. We're not going to joke around. We're just going to sit here, enjoy the meal, you know, sit here and smile, not talk much, pleasant dinner, manners. Like, that's not a YouTube video. So I feel like people are forgetting that aspect here.
Right, Rhea. It's a YouTube video. They're trying to entertain people. It absolutely blew up for the wrong reasons, and it gets discussed by so many people. And you see people like Trisha Paytas, and she's on the posting worst. All these videos talking about them and shitting on them. And Charlie in her live was just like, Trisha, like, you're just not a nice person. And, you know, she apologized and said she shouldn't have been talking about Charlie that way. She's a minor, and I don't know. It's just when this stuff happens and other influencers get involved and escalate the situation more than it needs to, it sucks. And James Charles had a good tweet where it really kind of summed it all up, Rhea. I think you had retweeted it and was talking about standing James Charles.
I'm a James Charles stan. I don't give a fuck. I will. I'm just so tired of how people really just look for anything to hate on somebody, get mad at them, look to quote unquote cancel them. You're not allowed to make any sort of mistakes. There is no room for error here. Like it's so obnoxious and annoying at this point. It's like nobody can just live their life. It's just like, what? It's not that serious. This video of the D'Amelios is not that serious. Like, people are up in arms. And this girl, she's 16 years old. She's crying on the Instagram Live. Meanwhile, you have Zoe Laverne on TikTok, 19-year-old, making out with a 13-year-old. And everyone gives her shit for 2 days. And it's, you know, it's not in the news or anything. No media outlets are reporting on it. They're only reporting about Charlie getting shit. They're not reporting on this other TikToker who's making out with 13-year-olds. And then you have Trisha Paytas, who didn't know what the Holocaust was up until 2 weeks ago. And she's 30-something years old. And you're going to tell me that's somebody we should be listening to? No. It's so ridiculous. It really is. Like, I do get that a lot of the people shitting on them are like 11, 12 year old, you know, people. Like, it's like 11 to 12 year olds, 13 year olds, whoever it may be. But there's also like a lot of 30 year olds shitting on them. And I'm like, why do you care so much about the way they are acting at a dinner with the D'Amelios with their parents on a YouTube video, like I said, meant to entertain people? Like, it's,
yeah,
you got to worry about something else, or maybe just stop worrying about people in general. You know, let's stop hating and looking for reasons to get mad at people.
Right.
Granted, there are times that you should get mad at people when a mistake is made and it's bad, but like straight up automatically going to the canceling thing. It's like, we can't let people, you know, learn anything. Like, we can't let Charlie grow up a little bit and say, hey, you know, looking back, maybe I should have been a little nicer to that chef.
Right. The consequences have got to match the crime, and they don't match the crime here. It's
no,
it really totally blown out of proportion completely, and it's they're kids, and you got to be able to make a mistake. It just sucks when you are making a mistake to hundreds of, literally like tens of millions of people, and everybody has an opinion.
Almost 100 million, but not yet, because
almost 100 million followers. yeah, and everybody is telling you how you should act and how you should be, and it's got to be a lot of pressure on them. So I don't know. Crazy situation that this blew up as much as it did.
Yeah. And for the people who say like, they know they would have acted better at 16 or 19 years old. You say that, but I doubt you did. You know what I mean? Nobody has a camera on themselves at all times when they're 16 and 19 years old, letting you know your every move. I'm sure there were times that you were a little bratty that you didn't know about, and that, you know?
Yeah. There is at least one time when I think for everyone around those ages where you were maybe a little rude to someone because you were an angsty teen, and now you look back and think, oh, you know, I probably shouldn't have done that. But at the time, you're not thinking about it. All you care about is yourself.
Right. And add the layer of, like I said, making a YouTube video to make people like laugh and be entertained.
Right. The whole snail thing was to get some laughs, to be like, haha, look at Dixie throwing up from eating a snail. Not like, wow, look at the disrespect for the food that she threw up the snail.
Yeah, exactly. Friday, which means I'm getting my Friday energy from Monster Energy Ultra per usual. They have a new flavor. It's the Ultra Watermelon flavor. So if you're not ready to let go of summer, which I know you're not because I'm not, nobody ever is, then get that Ultra Watermelon flavor. I personally love it. I love things that taste like watermelon. Usually they always taste good, in my opinion. You know, watermelon, Sour Patch Kids, even though this is not sour, it tastes like watermelon, tastes delicious, it's refreshing, and it gives you that Friday energy you need at any point. It's also zero sugar, low in calories, just like every other flavor that we talk about, the Ultraviolet, the Paradise, the Fiesta, the Rosa, all these great flavors from Monster Energy Ultra to give you that energy you need without all that bad stuff that's involved, without all that sugar. You're not getting that. You're getting great tasting energy drinks that you think, oh, this can't possibly taste that good. It is. Trust me. Trust us. Try the new watermelon flavor. You will not regret it. Get that Friday energy from Monster Energy Ultra.
We now have two episodes of The Real Housewives of Salt Lake City, and this is the first time that I am watching Real Housewives, like the premiere of a new Real Housewives franchise as it is happening. Like, I've always gone back and watched, but living in this moment is wild. I wish I had this thrill before, but these women in Salt Lake City are absurd. The casting at Bravo did a phenomenal job because these women are so different. There's so many differences between all of them, but yet similarities that tie them all together that you're looking at all of them at a table and you're like, only Bravo could get this group of people in one room at this table. I think one of the obviously most interesting element to this, which is what we all expected, was the Utah Mormon situation. And now most of them were either Mormons growing up and now are not. There are a few who I think the only one who is a Mormon now is Lisa, I think. But it's just a wild, crazy situation.
Let me tell you, these ladies, perfectly casted.
Yeah.
The situations that are going on in this show are unlike any we've ever seen. We've got a woman marrying her grandfather, arranged by her grandmother. We got crazy situations happening on this show that I have never seen on a reality TV show before. And I'm here for it. I am loving it. There are so many things that stood out to me that I can't even like wrap my brain at once trying to figure out what was the most absurd. I think talking about being a Mormon in general, just trying to learn more about it, and you know, it's not a religion I knew much about, but hearing more about it, you're like, wow, this is intense.
It definitely is. Hearing everybody's unique story, you know, there's cheating scandals, affairs, divorces, you know, conversions, you know, there's a lot of people have moving around to different religions. Like, this feels like a Housewives franchise where there are so many different religions involved, which is very different than what we've seen on previous franchises. So, you know, hearing Jen talk about converting to Islam and Mary's church is her own church. You know, she is the, what does she call herself? Like the first lady of the church or something. Yeah. This, you know, and the women that were Mormons and then have gone through actions where they've had to leave the church. And now there's women that are now part of the church, the Mormon church. So it is crazy seeing all these women interact. I want to say, I feel like Jen is the leader of the group. Like, she kind of feels like that queen bee. She has that spot.
Yeah.
I would say.
Jen with her sons makes me laugh.
It was funny. She is funny.
they're talking about whether they're talking to girls, sexting girls. And she was like, if a girl ever sends you a picture like that, you block them and you tell me, or something to that effect. And I was dying. I'm like, these kids, these poor kids, they just want to get a little sexting. And for the kid to be like, no, I haven't, like, come on.
It's incredible to, I mean, this, and this is, we're kind of jumping all over the place, but like in the preview for next week, I think it was Lisa's son who was learning how to drive, and they are now, I want to say, part of the Mormon church, and her son's learning to drive. And it was just a clip of him saying, yeah, I got a great pullout game. as he's pulling the car in the driveway, and I'm just like, oh my God, this is a whole different ball game. Lisa and Meredith right now have been kind of hard for me to tell the difference, just because they look very similar. I know Meredith is kind of going through a separation right now, at least on the show, and it kind of seems like Meredith's son is going to be a star. I'm already enjoying him. I feel like he's going to bring some good content to this show. And you just never thought you would be watching like Heather and Lisa talking about being at school together at BYU. And Heather saying that like Lisa like acts like she doesn't remember her, but they've known each other for so long. And Lisa was saying that Heather was flashing people in college, and Heather's like, I would have gotten kicked out of school. Like the whole thing is such a different, is a different lifestyle. It's a different way of life. And just the end of episode one was so iconic in Housewives history. I feel like just from Mary and Jen and the outfits that they're in, the party that they're in, the naked men that are around them, that's supposed to be Meredith's birthday, mm-hmm. and them screaming at each other about how Mary had said her house smelled like hospital, and for Jen to be screaming back saying, well, that's because my aunt had both her legs amputated and you insulted her, telling her she smelled like hospital. Mary's like, no, I just said I smelt hospital, not that she smelled like hospital. And Mary trying to explain her traumatic experiences with hospitals and spending 30 days in the hospital. Now she can't be anywhere near a hospital, and she has a very sensitive nose.
It was one of the more absurd fights I've seen on Real Housewives. I've never put together a scenario where two people were fighting about the smell of hospital and one person not being able to smell a hospital or be around it, and the other person being like, well, I'm dealing with somebody that's got two amputated legs and they're going to be at the
screaming,
hospital.
Screaming, her legs are amputated.
Like, that's unfortunate, and she's got to be at the hospital, so it makes sense you smell like hospital. But now this woman, she can't smell a hospital, which I get as well. Maybe she had a really, really traumatic experience and she can't smell hospitals and it freaks her out. Fair enough. I don't know the reasoning, so I'm not going to judge her. But this fight was cracking me up. Honestly, it's something I've never seen on the show before. Clearly.
Mary terrifies me. Everything about her scares me. I don't know what's going on in her life. I don't know. You know, all we were told is that she married her step-grandfather because when her grandma was passing, she had said for one of her granddaughters to take care of her husband. That it was like almost like in her will, like kind of an arranged marriage, that one of her grandchildren should marry her husband. What is going on? What?
I don't know.
That doesn't happen.
Know. And then she said that they didn't have sex the night of their wedding because she had her period and she was so thankful that she didn't have to have sex with her grandpa or step-grandpa. It's still her grandpa, though, in my eyes. I mean, it's not, obviously it's not, but it is. Like, that's your step-grandpa. Then you married your grandpa.
That is someone.
That's your grandpa.
That is someone who has had sexual intercourse with your grandmother.
Yes. And now you may be having sexual intercourse with him, but because your grandmother wanted you to. A crazy scenario. And I'm on board for Real Housewives of Salt Lake City.
As am I. I'm very excited to see Whitney take her dad to Mary's church. Because I whatever goes down in Mary's church is going to be insane. Like, I just, the clips of what we have seen of her preaching, it, she's screaming. It's wild, like a wild scenario. So it's just, and then like the Whitney, I don't know. There's so many amazing people on this show that when you really look into their lives, you're like, what is happening? You know, Whitney, the first episode, Whitney's, we thought we were watching a marriage. Like, it was like, yeah. Oh my God, we're watching their wedding. This is happening. You know, it was
already the first episode.
Yes. It was like, so, you know, they were honoring their 10-year wedding anniversary and they were both previously married and it was some kind of an affair situation. And therefore, you know, that's why she's not a part of the church anymore. And her dad, she was very close with her dad, but her dad has a drug problem. And that was now why he is not involved with the Mormon church. And so that relationship was insane to me. I don't know if you specifically remember this clip, Rhea, but when they were at the wedding, like after party or whatever you would describe it, Whitney is on the pole because she has that stripper pole. It seems like she is into the stripper pole. We've seen that yeah. now in two episodes. Her dad is like right behind her as yep. she's on the pole being like, woo!
Yeah, let's go.
That's my baby girl.
Who's your daddy?
It's just, it's been, oh God, it's really incredible to watch so far and seeing these relationships form and how these people connect. Jen and Mary are going to continue to hate each other. I think it seems like Jen is going to want Meredith to pick a side. I can't wait for the obligatory trip. Whatever, like, whoever organizes that, hey, ladies, like, I got to go to blank for blank reason. Why don't you all come? Can't wait for whatever that is. Because
oh, yeah, it'll anytime, be one of the best episodes, of course.
Yeah. Anytime they're all together, so crazy.
A new show on FX on Hulu called A Teacher. It stars Kate Mara and Nick Robinson, and it is wild. This show was another show that Noah and I watched, and we both talked about it, and we were like, oh my God, this show's insane. And then Fran heard us talking about it and was like, oh, okay, now I need to watch this show. You guys are saying how insane this show is. I gotta jump on board here. Fran, how do you feel about it now?
All right. First of all, if you haven't watched and you want to watch, skip this topic because we're going to get into some spoilers of what's going on in these episodes. I could not believe what I was watching. I really could not. The first three episodes came out all together. They're like 30 minute episodes ish. And now we're getting one new episode a week, which, by the way, terrible format. I hate this.
I hate it.
One 30 minute
out, please.
One 30 minute episode a week is like, we don't do that. We don't do that anymore.
Yeah. That was like back in the day in Disney Channel when they would do a Friday night, the new episodes would come out 8 and 8:30.
Yeah.
Like not, we don't yeah. have time for that anymore. We need the whole thing. Stat, hour episodes.
Exactly.
10 at once.
Yeah. We don't have time for that. And look, this is a show about a teacher and a high school student's relationship that occurs that is obviously incredibly wrong and incredibly illegal because as of right now, he is underage on this show and she's married. And it's just a crazy depiction where you feel so uncomfortable watching it. That you can't even believe that this happens. but it does happen. But it's so uncomfortable to watch. Like, I physically cringe at the TV watching this go down. And it feels wrong because you almost are like, you feel like you're watching a love story. And anytime you watch a love story, it's like, yes, we root for love. We like love. That right. Love is great.
Yes, absolutely.
Love watching love stories. In this case, you're watching this happen. Thing. Yes. Adore, love them. And when you're watching this, yeah, when you watch this love story, you're screaming at your TV that this is not okay.
Yeah. Listen, I can't believe they're fucking making a show out of this because I think I expected a lot more people to freak out about it. But they have like warnings at the beginning and the end that, like, you know, if somebody you know is getting in this type of situation, you need to call somebody. Here you go. But then they play songs like Boyfriend by Justin Bieber.
Which I'm definitely making the song that starts this segment.
Yeah. They play songs like that while that, you know, warning is up on the screen. And you can't help but almost chuckle to yourself. You're like, wait a second, this just, you're playing a sexy song with a warning. I'm feeling like a bad girl right now watching this. I felt like I was doing something wrong after I was watching this show. I was like, whew, my God, they're carrying a lot of weight on their shoulders in this show. And it's highly uncomfortable to watch, but at the same time, you're invested. But I will say, yes, of course, if you are-
Can't look away.
Right now, I feel like we can talk about it and we can watch it because we're not in school. We're not going to have this situation. But it is a situation that unfortunately happens and ends up in a disaster and obviously should not happen because it's illegal. But this show, you can't look away from. Nick Robinson, who is 25 in real life, by the way, I want to make that clear, is super hot. He's super hot. And he,
which is why watching the show makes you feel so hard. Uncomfortable because it's two hot people falling in love, which is literally normally, the formula of every show that I love.
Yeah. Normally you root for that kind of thing. You see two hot people and you're like, are they, we're rooting for them. That's it. John B and Sarah Cameron, we're rooting for them.
Yeah.
These two, you're like, am I rooting for them? Am I not rooting? You're obviously like this is so wrong.
This woman is.
Oh yeah. No, but
like this woman has lost it.
oh, for sure. Watching it, you're like, this woman is a fucking creep. What is wrong with her? She's married. She's cheating. She's cheating on her husband with a high school kid, and then going back home and blowing her husband. She's having sex with the kid, and then going and blowing her husband. She's out of her goddamn mind. But that's why the show is entertaining, because you're like, oh my God, this is disgusting. This woman's crazy. But you want to know what happens.
Yeah, it is. It's showing the inner workings of something that is so wrong. And we have seen shows of that nature before, but nothing really like on this topic, I feel like, where it's also incredibly graphic. Like, I was not expecting this to be as sexual as it is. Like, we are getting real close. I mean, when she went home and got down on her knees in the kitchen, like, we got full ass shot of her husband. Like, yeah, I was like, oh my God, I'm like covering my eyes.
Put this on HBO.
I'm like, oh my God, FX on Hulu. I didn't know you guys could do this.
Also, like, they do like say the trigger warning, like if you know someone, but also you just see this kid, like if you're a young kid watching this and he's just like, I'm the man. And it's like, yeah that's what, like, how are you not going to be like, I want to, like, be like this kid?
I get what you're saying, because he is looking in the mirror. And by the way, I wanted to bring that up, the writing of the show. This kid's looking in the mirror. He's like, I'm the man. I'm the motherfucking man. And you know what? Eric Walker, who's his name in the show, you're banging your teacher. You kind of, in your eyes, yeah, you're the man. But your teacher is a fucking creep. Like, you know what I mean? It's a very hard show to watch, but also you look away from. You can't look away. You can't watch. You're peeking through your fingers because it's that cringeworthy. And the writing is just hilarious. He's texting his teacher, I like fucking you. And I'm just like, that's your teacher. And your teacher is staring at her.
This is the ballsiest 17-year-old of all time.
Right? I'm like, damn, this kid's confident. And the teacher is eating it up like a little schoolgirl, smiling at her phone. Yeah. I'm like, this is disgusting.
It really does show like what that scenario can be like when an adult just forgets how to act like an adult.
Right.
And covers it up as like, you know, who knows what happens down the line. I'm going to assume this blows up and people find out about it. And it's going to be like, well, we're in love. Like, but it's vile. It's really like, unbelievable to watch.
You can't be in love. You got to cut it off, teacher. You shouldn't have even been his tutor. You shouldn't have talked to him longer than you did. You can't let it get to that point that you now have to defend yourselves being in love. You can't. It's illegal. It's not happening anymore, guys. Shut it down.
Yeah.
As for the kid. Yeah.
Your student kisses you in your classroom and you quit your job and move across the country.
Right. You let somebody know that your student kissed you and you leave. You just get out of there. You just run.
Or you just fucking quit. Yeah.
Yeah. Like you got to do something about that. Oh man, it's crazy. But as for the kid, you're looking at the kid's point of view. He doesn't real, you know, he's a kid in high school who thinks his teacher is hot. Of course, if the teacher is coming on to him and he thinks the teacher's hot and this is some kind of crazy fantasy, you can't blame the kid for like going along with it. It's definitely the teacher's fault.
Yeah. 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 It's really, like we said before, it's something you watch like between your fingers and you can't believe what's happening on the TV screen.
You close all the blinds in your house. You lock all the doors.
It's so uncomfortable it's like, how could you not just put this whole season out at once so we can watch an extreme discomfort in one sitting? Like, I don't like having to return to this every week.
I'm not going to lie. Like, I was watching it and I was like worried, like one of my roommates would walk in and be like, what are you watching? Like, it's kind of that type of like, I'm watching porn or something.
It feels dirty.
It does. It does feel dirty. Kelly Keys and I watched it together, the first four episodes, and we had no idea to act. We were like, what did we just take in? What the hell did we just take in? We're going to need to take a breather from this. It's definitely a lot, but it's a show that if you want to feel that way, put it on. I mean, I definitely would say watch it. Like, I'm not saying not watch it, but I do hope that we see some repercussions for the teacher here, because if there's no repercussions, then it's a bad message that they're sending out to the kids. And we don't need that.
Right. Right. There's got to be like, if this ends with them running away together and like being in love, then this is a problem.
You said we have a problem.
Bad show.
Yeah. Bad show. Yeah. We're not fans.
Yeah, exactly. So we'll see what happens, because we only get 30 minutes a week. Have a great conversation with Nina Parker coming up. We're getting into topics. We're talking about one of her new shows. If you're watching E, you're seeing Nina Parker. And honestly, what better way to unwind, to throw on your favorite show?
Hey guys, it's Big Cat, and Fight Week is here. Rough and Rowdy 24 invades Clarksburg, West Virginia this Friday night, April 19th at 8 p.m. Eastern. For the first time since Rough and Rowdy 1, every single fight will be a brand new brawler. And we found the wildest hillbillies the holler has to offer. Order now to enjoy 20 amateur matchups with no headgear, plus our live ring girl contest after the final bell. These country roads are being paved with blood and grit and balls. Join me and Dave on the call for Rough and Rowdy 24 this Friday night at 8 p.m. Eastern. Witness all the chaos with pay-per-view replay available all weekend long on buyrnr.com. That's buyrnr.com.
Auto.
Oh,
We are here with a very special guest, Nina Parker from E! She has been on our show many times before. We love her. I specifically love her Instagram because she is always posting the most glamorous photos and I get popping jealous. Off. I need the glam. She's always popping off. So follow her on there. And also she's doing all the work over at E! She's popping on every show. I mean, you're really hustling these days. I'm seeing it and I love it.
Yeah. I am on my 9th day in a row of work. So I am like, I am so tired. So you giving me that intro makes it all worth it. You know how to introduce somebody.
Yeah. I mean, it's so well deserved. We see you all the time on E! You're on so many different shows doing so many different things. What is your kind of day to day like these days with you know, Nightly Pop, and now you got Dating No Filter again. It's just all very exciting.
It's a lot. You know, I'm usually, depending right now, sometimes they're using me on Daily Pop as well. So I'm not there permanently, but they've been having me fill in. So sometimes, you know, I'm waking up at like 4:45 in the morning to get ready to go do Daily Pop. And then I trickle in and film Nightly Pop after that. And then usually by the time I'm done with that, my afternoons are filled with a lot of Zooms and filming, you know, other things. And I have some other projects I'm working on that I can't talk about yet that are consuming a lot of my time. Mm. So yeah, when I can talk about it, you know, I'm gonna come and talk to you ladies.
Yes, please.
Yeah, so it's busy days. And then obviously we just have PCA. So I work through the weekend for that. So, you know, it's busy, but it's what, you know, I prayed for. So I can't complain.
Yeah, exactly. Like Fran said, we're so happy for you. We love watching you. You're like, I've told you before, like me and my boyfriend, we crack up at you. You're just
you're amazing. I feel like I talk to you guys all the time because I'm always on your Instagram pages.
So you said you're on your 9th day in a row working. Mm-hmm. What's an off day for you? What's like the ideal day that you have planned in your head that you're just going to soak up doing nothing or whatever it is?
As I look over to the 12 pounds of laundry I have over here, I'm like, I'm always like responsibility watching The Office reruns. Like I have like a, I really try to like decompress and like shut my brain down. So, you know, it consists of probably ordering food because even cooking to me is like too much work. These days, like I do like to cook, but I feel like I got so cooked out from like the first part of quarantine where we were all like Betty Crocker baking banana bread and like learning how to make things from scratch. And I was putting my own tires on my car. So now I'm like, okay. So these days I feel like it's just ordering food. Like I kind of even like watching stuff I've already seen because I really like to just shut my brain down. Because even shows that I get too emotionally invested in, you get angry and like start throwing things or get so invested. So I just like to completely shut everything off and just like veg out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, honestly, there's something safe about rewatching a show that you've seen a million times before and just pigging out on food, whatever it is. That's like my favorite thing to do. I do it every night. But I'm putting on like old Disney Channel shows like Sweet Life of Zack and Cody.
You know, I think it's comforting too to a part of our brain that's like it feels safe. So we just go there.
Yeah, exactly.
Is there has there been anything that you are currently binging?
What am I binging right now? I was about to start Queen's Gambit, but I haven't started it yet. Is it good?
Amazing. Yes. 10 out of 10 show. Okay. It's so good. Please watch it. It's so good.
I was torn between that and The Crown because I've never watched The Crown and everybody's talking about it. So I was like, okay, these are the next two that I'm about to binge. Because then I was watching, you know, all of the old black shows came back on Netflix, like Girlfriends and One-on-One and A Half and Half. So I was kind of watching those for a little bit. And now that I've binged all of those, it's on to something like brand new.
Yeah, The Queen's Gambit is so freaking good. We've talked about it on the show many times before. It sucks me in. It's 7 episodes, which is perfect.
Easy limited 7 series. Episodes. The Crown is a commitment. The Crown is fantastic. I'm about to start the new season, but The Crown is very historical and you like really got to pay attention.
Queen's Gambit could be a one night thing.
Okay. All right. Queen's Gambit it is.
So lock it in.
Wow. Glad we got that out of the way.
Your whole thing was worth it, lady.
Yes. Let's hear a little bit of what's coming in Dating No Filter. We're gonna do some topics with you, but we're excited for some new episodes. What's about to go down?
Well, you know, it's so crazy because we filmed these pre-COVID. And so I've been watching some of the clips and I don't remember anything I've said or anything like that. So I feel like I'm going to be watching with everybody else. Like, what is she saying? But, you know, really, for the most part, these dates are, you know, it's going to be interesting to see now that we're in this COVID world, because I think dating will be different. But it's really cool that they're all really blind dates. So normally we meet somebody, even if we're getting hooked up through a friend, even if it's through an app, we still have the ability to kind of lurk them and look at their social media and kind of see if we have mutual friends. And what I like about Dating No Filter is it's a really blind date. Like, you walk up, you don't know who you're going to meet. And, you know, some of these people are really cool. Some are a mess. You know, or you meet a person that's like really into the other person and the other person's a little insecure about it. And so you kind of see how people deal with insecurity. Sometimes they drink too much. They tell bad jokes. So it's really a great like social experiment to see how people are in dating.
Yeah. And I think that it's really exciting that you filmed it pre-COVID, because I feel like what people need is to watch something that like makes them feel normal. You know, you're not seeing many new shows that, you know, that were filmed before. A lot of people are working on stuff now, or they started working on it in the summer,
right?
All post COVID. So it's like, this is a new world, but that
gives a reminder of what dating used to be.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's going to be fun. And we might be a little sad because we're like, I'm seeing people inside restaurants and I'm like, this is just different being in LA.
Why aren't you wearing a mask while you're watching the show?
Right. And even like with the comedians, because it's two of us to a couch and I'm sitting like right next to my partner. And it's like, it's weird that they were so close together. So it's like, we really have this PTSD of like how we need to operate now from what 2020 has done to us. So it's kind of fun to like look back and just see like a lot of the things we took for granted.
Yeah, exactly. And now that premieres. So this episode will come out
Friday.
So there will be out already. Premieres Wednesdays, 10 p.m. Yeah. And yeah, very, very exciting stuff. You're working on so much. That's super fun. And then, like you said, the nightly pop you do, which I love. And you're doing now, you said that you're just popping on randomly to Daily Pop, right?
Yeah. And I actually started at E! Doing Daily Pop. I was just supposed to be filling in for one day. And it ended up turning into like a fill-in for 6 months, which ended up landing the nightly pop gig. So it's always like, you know, I tell people like, don't look at things as a small opportunity, because it always could turn into something bigger, which it did for me. And so now we do nightly pop, you know, 4 nights a week, and, you know, and E! Uses me where they can use me, which is usually in a lot of places, which I'm thankful for. But yeah, it's a good time. It's fun. And nightly pop is fun because we can be kind of crazy.
Right. Oh yeah, that's why I love it.
We love Nightly Pop, and we love having you on to talk to us, because we feel like we're on Nightly Pop. You know, we're like, even though we're like, this is our show, but we're like, every time I'm like, I just feel like we're on our own episode of Nightly Pop.
And I love that you guys
work in the COVID era, because I would be like, come to set, like, you know, you guys come see us.
Yeah, one day we'll have to. I just love the no bullshit factor of it. Like, you guys really just say what's on your mind. And I think that that's important to keep people entertained. You know, it's not the same old thing of being like, I'm rooting for them. Like, you guys say what is on your mind. And that's why we love having you on the show. And that's why we're going to dive into some topics so we can.
It's fun to have that directive of like being able to say we have a little cap, but for the most part, you know, the three of us are very opinionated in general. And I just don't think I'd be able to hide my feelings even if I tried to. I'm just one of those people that wears it. I say it with my chest all the time. So, you know, it's the cameras don't stop that. So it's fun to be able to be. And I feel like more people are starting to watch Nightly Pop. And, you know, it's a good watch to get your pop culture, but also to just hear real opinions where not everything is perfect. Like, we talk about, you know, everything.
Exactly. And for comedic relief, you guys are very funny.
Well, appreciate that.
We want to talk about some topics, need to have thoughts on it. I want to start off with what I think is like the juiciest subject of them all, which is Scott Disick's relationship and his life.
And now he is dating Amelia Gray, or Amelia Gray Hamlin, however you want to say her name, because I feel like it's a very confusing situation. Lisa Rinna's daughter from Beverly Hills Housewives, if you guys know. And so now they're dating. She's 19. We know Scott is much older. Scott always goes for these younger girls now. What do you think about this situation?
I mean, she's 19. That's young. You know, Scott and I are closer in age. And so yeah, I couldn't even imagine dating a 19-year-old guy. Like, I just, you know, no shade to a 19-year-old, but when you are grown, there's very few things you have in common with someone who's 19. Now, I do feel like she's elevated because of her career, and she has a, you know, a family that's built in, you know, Hollywood, and I'm sure that's something that they can relate to on some level. I just wonder if Scott is dating someone that is, you know, is he dating someone that is easy for him to just get along with because he doesn't have to do too much? Like, I wonder, like, how this is, I just wonder how this feeds him. You know what I mean? But I'm also the kind of person that I need to date someone that I'm stimulated by. Not that she's not stimulating, but I think that age difference is just so vast. And there's just so much, when I talk to my younger friends, there's so much I've gone through that they have yet to experience. It makes us, you know, our relatability stops. We have a cap on how much we can relate to each other. You just have to have certain life experiences to be able to relate to me on an intimate level. So I just wonder, you know, what he's getting out of it. But I mean, you know, it's his business.
Yeah, you just kind of think that from who he has dated in the past now, that maybe he separates his lives. Like, he's got like dad life and yes, he's got like dating life, and they right, don't intertwine, and he can pretend that he's 25 in mm-hmm, his dating life and yeah, can date these younger girls. Because look, I did some math, and I said this to Rhea before. Amelia is about 8 years and 6 months older than Mason Disick.
Ooh.
It's a alarming number.
That's a little too close for comfort, in my opinion.
When you put it like that, it's like, I, you know, and for me, I would want to date somebody who could at least be like, they're not like, our age shouldn't be further away from me and your kids, you know? So
it's absolutely to me, that's bizarre. Take kids out of it, and Scott's just a, you know, whatever, how old he is. He's dating 19-year-old.
Thinks he's Leonardo DiCaprio. Yeah.
You're Leonardo DiCaprio. Fine. Go ahead. Yeah. I can't judge Leonardo DiCaprio because he's Leonardo DiCaprio. They're of age.
I mean, people do date 20 years apart. Like, people do it. It's just, I don't know. I know we're women, so we always look at it with probably a different scope than a lot of the men look at it with. But yeah, it's just, you know, I just, you know, and also it's always difficult when there are kids involved. But, you know, him and Courtney are both dating and living their single lives. So I guess, you know, you're allowed to. I just, you know, I wonder how Lisa feels about the whole thing.
I love the Lisa Rinna aspect of all this. Yeah. I really do. I really do. Yeah. Like, is this exciting for her? Is this terrible? Is this like some kind of Beverly Hills Kardashians crossover?
Oh, I would love it.
I would love that.
I would be here for seeing him on Beverly Hills Housewives. And because the Kardashians are coming to an end, like is Scott planting a seed somewhere? Like, what is going on? Yeah. But, you know, I would be here for that crossover, because I know they at one point were, at least somebody was throwing out they wanted Kris Jenner on there. We know that's not happening, but I would settle for Scott on Housewives and see how he blends with Lisa Rinna.
I'll settle for Scott on any reality show. I think he's hilarious. I think he's great. But like you were saying, Nina, I think that there is something to do with it that Scott doesn't really have to put in the work with the 19-year-olds, right? He has to put in the work with Kourtney Kardashian because she's this sophisticated businesswoman. They're running this empire. They have a past history. They have kids together. She's probably, you know, has this wall up maybe a little bit with him. I know they have a great relationship, but there's probably some sort of aspect there.
Absolutely.
But you have these 19-year-olds who are like, yeah, I want to bang Scott Disick, so I'm going to go for it.
and you're used to, yeah, you're you like that age, it just, you're kind of used to, which is, this is a generalized statement, but you're kind of used to being treated not that well by men. Like, you're used to like having your phone calls ignored maybe and getting,
getting a late night text.
Just dealing with boys that are a little bit more immature. So like you said, it's a way for Scott to kind of step in and maybe be extremely impressive.
Right. I mean, it's interesting that he's not dating a woman with kids or someone, you know what I mean? Like, he's definitely picking people who obviously have work responsibilities, who have their own careers, but they don't necessarily have these like dependencies with family. And, you know, and I think when we watched the Kardashians and when he was with Kourtney, she was always telling him to grow up. She was just like, you know, you have kids now, you can't do this, you can't do these things. So I do think a part of him does detach from like family life to dating life. I think with Scott, he wants to keep his dating life light. Like, that's the part where he doesn't want stress.
Yeah. Don't you feel like sometimes, or a lot of the times with these people, they're afraid of aging. They are like deathly afraid of getting older. Yeah. And I feel like that's a lot of the times why they date so much younger.
Yeah. I mean, but it doesn't, I just don't understand people. It doesn't stop your aging process. Like, you can just, you know what I mean? Like, it's not going to stop.
If anything, right. If anything, you look older when you date someone so young.
You should date an older woman, baby. You look so young.
That's very true. You
know, I think that that's a great point. And I just think with LA in general, especially more LA than New York, I think it's just like, there's such an emphasis on age and aging and like how you look, and it's a big deal. And so I feel, but you know, Scott looks great. Like, he does, it's not, and men age well, you know, like they can be 60 years old looking like they're in their 40s. Like, they age really well. And we like a little, you know, salt and pepper on a man.
Absolutely.
We do. We definitely do. They do say that men, yeah, I mean, men age pretty well. Scott Disick looks great. Like, you know, he does look great. And it's definitely an interesting relationship, but it does kind of seem like maybe Scott is in that mode. Like, I'll date younger, have some fun. And then, you know, Rhea and I always hold out hope that eventually he'll be like, you know what? I'm done with this phase. Time to marry Kourtney.
I know, everybody. I don't know if it's in the cards for them, because I think they have a,
I know,
they started getting along when they stopped dating. Like, when they stopped dating, they're funny together now and they're fun. When before we were all kind of cringing, like, ooh, this doesn't seem healthy. And now, like, you know, they kind of don't care about other parts of their lives and they're able to vacation. I mean, they had Sophia with them on vacation. So it seems great. They can adjust pretty easily to each other having a partner.
Honestly, props to them, because I don't think I'd ever be able to do that. So good for them.
Don't bring your little 4-year-old girlfriend on my vacation.
Your babysitter.
Yeah, I'm good.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, moving on to the next topic. We have to talk about what's going on between Taylor Swift and Scooter Braun. Obviously, if you've been following along with the whole situation, Scooter Braun owns Taylor Swift Masters and now has sold it to somebody else, where Scooter Braun is still going to profit off of it. Taylor is in the process of re-recording her old music, but Scooter Braun is still making money off of her, and she had released a statement about the whole thing. And apparently, you know, she wanted to buy it, but they were going to make her sign an NDA that said that she can never talk about Scooter Braun unless it was something positive. And honestly, that's some bullshit. You really think she's going to talk positive about him? Come on. Come on. Come on, Scooter. If you're going to do this, stick by your word, be a businessman and say, hey, talk bad about me all you want. I'm doing business. But don't be a little bitch about it. Oh, you can't talk bad about me.
Well, I think, you know, I have two minds with the whole thing, because I think, you know, when we look at this, we look at it like a moral standing, and then we look at it with like the business standing.
Yeah.
And so I feel like a lot of people look at this situation emotionally, like, this is wrong. This isn't right. She worked hard. This is her music. She deserves everything. But business just don't work that way, you know, like, and, you know, I've been in this business for a while and it's never really fair. You know, like, you take an L at some point, and a lot of times when you take an L, it's a growing experience, and you try to learn from it and grow from it. You know, so people who are in business, especially people who have signed contracts, who have been like, damn, I didn't know I was supposed to ask for this or whatever. I feel like we look at this situation and say, well, you know, I mean, it sucks, but it is, you know, business is business. And it is kind of weird, though, to have somebody want to sign an NDA before you even go. Like, I would say if she decided to get the Masters and she bought them and then she says, all right, I'll sign this NDA to get my Masters, then I think that would have been fair. But to say, before we even get into negotiations, you need to sign this NDA, what incentive does she have to sign it if she doesn't know she's going to be able to actually purchase it?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And what you bring up is a great point. You know, a lot of people do look at it emotionally because they're such big fans of Taylor Swift. And I totally get that. We are too. And when I look at it emotionally, I'm like, yeah, Taylor Swift, she did this. This is her job. This is her talent. She did this all. She deserves it. But yes, the business standpoint is, yeah, that's how it works. You know, you sign a contract, you got to deal with it. It is what it is. And that's why I say, hey, you know, Scooter Braun, it's fine if you want to be this businessman and make these moves, but stand by it at least, you know, talk bad about me, but this is my business. Sure.
And I think Scooter, you know, he comes across as a guy who it's hard because I think sometimes you can be a villain to one person and still be a good person to other people. Mm-hmm. And I think with him and Taylor, this is a whole otherworldly type of feud that it's, you know, you've ever been in just with somebody where they bring out the worst in you. And I feel like they bring out the worst in each other and they become separate people when they're dealing with each other. I don't necessarily know if Scooter is a horrible person, but I think when it comes to Taylor, she brings out the most cutthroat business person of him, and he does with her as well. I think they're very similar in a lot of ways as far as like how far they're willing to go to preserve themselves, if you look at it that way. But I think, you know, he has a family and there are a lot of his artists that vouch for him, that say, you know, that they stand by him. And then on Taylor's side, obviously she has people who love her to death, who will stand up and fight for her, and they love her and they say she's the best person in the world. So it's hard. I think like I could be judged by someone who from my past who I didn't get along with, and they can write this story of how horrible of a person I am, and in their mind it's true. And so I think, you know, it's hard when we're looking at feuds because there's stuff we don't see, and there's history, and people stand by these beliefs, and then it just gets murky. But I do think, you know, they're both really rich, and at some point somebody's just got to be like, all right, you know what, this is not serving me, I've got to let this go. And I think that's what Taylor has done to an extent by saying, I'm just going to re-record my masters. I just hope the public of it all ends, because the death threats and all that kind of stuff, it's just like, it's just so toxic. Like it's just not serving anybody.
Absolutely. It reached a level where, to be honest, we had kind of thought that it had simmered down, that she was going to re-record her masters and we would hear those new songs. And so seeing her put out this statement was kind of shocking because we all were unaware that they were then sold again. So, you know, now they're under this, Shamrock Holdings now. It's a private equity company that now owns her masters. And they had reached out to Taylor to try and work out some kind of deal with Taylor. But when she looked at the fine print, realized that Scooter would still be profiting in some way, and she wants absolutely nothing to do with Scooter Braun. So she's going to continue on this path. But it gets very dodgy because it just gets a little shady. And, you know, business people are very shady. People move in the dark.
Yeah.
People move in the dark.
You kind of have to be, though. And I know that sounds bad, but like if you're going to make moves, sometimes they're going to slip right by you. But
Scooter Braun did not think, Scooter Braun did not think being a part of this deal was going to set off Taylor Swift to the level that, that set her off. If what Taylor said is true about the NDA, that's where I question Scooter more, because it's like, okay, I understand that could be from like a safety standpoint, because he has been very vocal about how all of this has affected his family and his home life. But to try and, when you look at it, it's like you're trying to kind of silence this woman from telling the world how she really feels. And that's not going to go over well.
She has the right to tell her story. And I just feel like, you know, this is when you do these types of deals, and this is how I feel like if you're going to have big balls, you got to have big balls. So there are decisions you are going to make that people are going to criticize. And I think she has a right to say, yeah, you are right, I did sign this, but this is a really shitty thing that you're doing to me. And also all these back end things that are happening, and I'm going to talk about it. I think the only thing she has right now is her voice to talk about her experiences. So her signing that NDA is like, you're taking the one thing that I have, because you have my master's, you're going to have all of this. The one thing I have is my voice to say how I feel about it. And you want to take that from me? No way. And I respect that.
Absolutely. Oh my God. That, I mean, you bring up such a great point. Like, it's true. He has her voice singing. He owns that basically. Like,
yeah.
She can't even talk about what she's feeling. Yeah. It's almost like controlling Taylor Swift, which you can't do. Taylor Swift is more powerful than Scooter Braun is. So it's like, and it doesn't matter, but it's also what Fran said, like you're trying to silence somebody, but it's also her music. So at least you can, like a little courteous, you can kind of be like, you know, it is your music. You know,
I think you guys, I don't know when, maybe 10 years from now, I think one day Taylor's going to get her masters back. I really believe that. And I think there's going to be something that happens where eventually she gets it back and it's going to, you know, she may have already re-recorded everything, but I think eventually this is going to end in her favor, because I don't think she's asking for anything other than to own the music that she was from her heart and soul. And, you know, I really do believe that sometimes, even though this sounds very fairy tale, I feel like things do work out. It just isn't the timing that we always want.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Okay, let's quickly, because we're already running out of time, so sad. Okay, let's quickly mention People's Sexiest Man Alive.
Yes, honey.
Big announcement. It's Michael B. Jordan. I think the world absolutely cheered when they heard this news. Michael B. Jordan might be the most deserving People's Sexiest Man Alive ever.
We've been saying it for years. We've been saying Michael B. Jordan, Michael B. Jordan, Michael B. Jordan. They put out Blake Shelton a few years back, and I was like, why is it not Michael B. Jordan? What is happening? Why Blake Shelton and not Michael B. Jordan?
So right.
This is unreal, amazing. So happy for my. We're acting like it's like he won an Oscar. He won People's Sexiest Man Alive. No, but it's a great choice. Honestly, it's like perfect choice.
I agree. I mean, I have joked for years that I love him. And, you know, I interviewed him on the red carpet a few years ago and proposed to him in front of his mother. so I have been a huge advocate. And I sometimes do feel like people is a little late with the Sexiest Man Alive thing. I feel like when they finally have it, we're almost over it. We're like, we've been talking about this person. So, you know, I'm happy that he's getting his shine, and, you know, it's very well deserved. I love him. And I think, you know, he's trying to do a lot for actors on the back end. So it's definitely about time.
I agree. I was reading some of the, you know, the articles and whatnot that came out today, and he just seems like such a gem. Like I know that objectively, you know, People's Sexiest Man Alive has a lot to do with the outside, but I do think now People tries to showcase who they are as a person as well.
Yeah.
And Michael B. Jordan just is a winner of a guy.
He absolutely is.
You know, because I think the last few guys have been in relationships or married. Mm-hmm. So it's nice to have, you know, a bachelor as the People's Sexiest Man Alive. We all feel like we got a shot, even though we probably don't.
Yeah, absolutely. I was calling it already that I think Harry Styles is going to be next year's People's Sexiest Man, because like you said, they're a little delayed. So like now we have this huge conversation about Harry Styles. He was on the cover of Vogue. He was rocking dresses. Yeah. He was doing his thing. We love Harry Styles so much. He's like the number one man in my eyes. But I think he's going to be.
I think that's a good towel to throw in there. I agree with you.
It definitely is, but I do agree with you, Nina, too, that they're a little late, and they could be like 4 years late to Harry Styles. They you know, like, because I do think, not that, I mean, Michael B. Jordan is 33. So like he's on the younger side of guys that they have picked in years past. But I do always kind of feel like they pick like grown men, you know, adult guys.
You're older. And I don't know if that's because of people making the decisions or whatever, because I feel like it was also like, I think it was The Rock before Blake Shelton or something like that. Like,
right. And John Legend was last year. So
it's in her 20s though. Like
last year. Yeah.
Oh, that's right. It was Idris Elba too. So you're right. These are grown ass men. But I wouldn't mind like a guy in their 20s. I think that would be a great, great break, and also a good way to like bring in a new audience to, you know, to the magazine. But, you know, we'll see if they listen to little ol' us.
Exactly. But we're
Michael B. Jordan for now.
Oh God. They can make him the cover star for however many years they want. They can just keep, it's just Michael B. Jordan every single year. Yeah. Good enough for us.
Good thirst traps, honey. He has his Instagram is everything.
Oh yeah, definitely. Well, so Nina, good. Thank you so much for joining us. We have a blast.
Oh, I love you, ladies.
Tell everybody where they can follow you, what shows you're on. You have a lot going on. I feel like I can't even name them all, but I want everyone to know where they can watch you because we love you and you're hilarious and amazing.
Oh, I love you guys. So you guys can follow me on social. It's the same across the board everywhere. It's MZ Gossip Girl. Or you can watch me on Nightly Pop Monday through Thursdays. The time changes between 11 and 11:30, depending on what the network wants to do. But it's in that late night category. Yeah, and then Dating No Filter is back. So you can watch that every Wednesday at 10 p.m. So I will be around.
Amazing. Nina, thank you so much. And we can't wait to talk to you again soon and hear about all those projects you got going on.
Yeah. Bye, lady.
Bye, Nina.
Bye.
All right, that wraps up today's episode of Chicks in the Office. We love you guys so much. We hope you have a fantastic weekend. Thank you so much for listening to this show. Rate, review, subscribe. If you love us, we love you. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you on Monday.